There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Monday. Greetings, distinguished colleagues. Distinguished colleagues, as Vladimir Putin has referred to as the new term for reporters out there. Everybody here, a friend, a brother, a sister. How about distinguished colleagues? Hello, distinguished colleagues. And we'll get into a little bit more in the second half of next hour on what went down today as you had the sit down behind closed doors and then the open Q&A and speech from President Trump and Vladimir Putin. What'd you make of this? Does this amount to the proverbial hill of beans? Is it all for show or is it a good thing? A thawing, possible thawing of a relationship between the world's two, well, okay, trying to get mad if I say that, but two of the world's biggest powers. We don't want to upset China, especially here on this Amazon Prime Day. All right, coming up over the next hour and a half or so, we continue our series of getting to know the candidates. Your chance here is, got till 7 o'clock tomorrow morning to make up your mind before you head out to the polls. So we do this the whole way through the primaries and now in the runoffs as well, giving you a chance to meet the candidates, get some questions answered. You can always text those questions into 343-0106, 343-0106, and we'll offer those questions. So if you're trying to make last-minute decisions before you head to the polls tomorrow, this is a great opportunity for you to get those answered. All right, and joining us in studio, George Zogby, who's running for Mobile District Judge. Thanks for coming in, and good to have you in studio. Thanks for being here.
Sean, thank you so much, my distinguished colleague.
This is my new favorite thing. It's distinguished colleagues. I think that's going to catch on around. The kids will be saying that. Hey, distinguished colleague. Hey, distinguished colleague. What to talk about. You're in the runoff, of course, tomorrow for the primary for district court judge. And still, I imagine there are people that may have voted for you. The first time coming out to vote for you tomorrow, they kind of know that maybe they like George Zogby, but district court judge, they know you're a judge. It's a judge position, but what they actually do.
Perfect. Look, let me tell you, district court judge, it handles criminal misdemeanors,
okay,
which is anything less than a year in jail.
Okay.
And it handles civil matters under $10,000.
So it's not just all, because we get this idea some judges are doing all criminal and some are doing all civil, but
right.
that's not the case.
No, in Mobile County, the judges handle both civil and criminal dockets.
Okay.
And in Jefferson County, you got judges that handle just criminal matters, judges that handle just civil matters. In Mobile County, the judges do both civil and criminal.
And that's, you have to have a breadth of knowledge. I know that you've been practicing law for, decades, but a while.
Thank you. Next month will be 26 years.
Wow. And yeah. So you've been practicing long enough to probably have seen all these issues we're talking about.
Yeah, I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot. You know, and, one of the things about district court is, that is the court where the majority of people have their first and sometimes only experience with the judicial system.
Okay.
So you're going to want a judge in there that knows how to handle the courtroom. A judge is going to be fair, is going to listen, because you want that person that comes before you to know that they're going to have a judge who is going to listen to them and rule accordingly under the law.
Now, one of the frustrations is people, not the day in court, but how long it takes to get that day in court.
Right. Well, district court moves a lot faster than circuit court. A circuit court, depending on the type of case it is, it could go, 6 months to a year and a half or 2 years.
Right.
District court moves a whole lot faster. You could have a case, start to finish 3 months.
Okay. Regular folks, George, 3 months seems like a long time. Even though that's way faster than circuit, that seems You know, people are like, gosh, I order something on Amazon Prime today and I have it delivered by tomorrow. And by justice, you know, I like it the same way.
Everybody wants it instantly now. Sure. You know, we're in that age where everybody wants it right now. But let me tell you, in 2016, we got some numbers, some figures from the Alabama United Judicial System that handles all these statistics.
Okay.
In 2016, Mobile County had 40,292 cases filed in district court alone.
Wow. Okay?
And that's a lot
42.
Of cases. Yeah, and the breakdown is this. 41% are traffic matters, 34% are criminal matters, and 24% are civil matters.
Okay.
So it's pretty even across the board. You know, give or take some percentage points.
So it sounds like the predominance, you could say, would be civil and traffic.
Right. Well,
you
got your traffic, the 41%, and then the 34% is criminal, 24% civil, so it's about 10% difference in that.
Now, you talk about, you know, and your ads, too, talking about the criminals. And people live in Mobile County, I imagine everywhere, but I'm just talking about Mobile County, and they call and text and, you know, engage with the show, and they say, crime is up. Crime is up in our city. Crime is up.
Crime is so up in this city, in this county.
Okay.
And, you know, it's a real problem. I mean, it's a real problem for Mobile. And, you know, we've got to do something to get this crime down. People don't have respect for the law anymore.
Right.
I mean, when you and I were growing up, I mean, a police officer walks in, you're at attention, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, people don't have the respect anymore, you know, that they had before for the law. And, you know, a lot of these criminals, to them, it's not just a crime anymore. It's an occupation.
Well, sure, because when we're seeing the mugs, they're looking for so-and-so, and we're seeing the mugshot of so-and-so last time they were in. And then, you know, that tells you they got a track record.
Yeah, and you know, I spoke with Chief Barber, now Public Safety Director, James Barber. And I spoke to him on a couple of times. I spoke with him when I first started the campaign, and I spoke with him more recently. And he says, George, 60 to 80% of the crime in Mobile County is committed by 10% of the criminals. I mean,
that tells you something. You could change some statistics pretty quickly.
I mean, people are going in and coming out.
Okay, well, we come back from the break. I want to talk about that because that idea of the revolving door we've heard of before. How does somebody, as a district court judge, change that? Coming right back. More with George Zogby right here on Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, distinguished colleague, let me tell you this.
All right, thank you. Distinguished colleagues, and we're back. It's Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5, 1220. I'll get a traffic update here. Looks like eastbound I-10. I know that's no big surprise. Has some backup going on. Thank you, Jeremy, for the text line. You want to send more details in there, you can always text us at 251-343-0106. Guest in studio, George Zogby. Of course, name that you've heard before, either George or many of his family members in our city. And I didn't want to have to out you, but you've been practicing law for more than 2 decades.
Yes, more than 2 decades. Thank you, Sean.
And in doing that, because I talked to folks, people go in and said, hey, I'm looking to run for this office for judge. And I said, you know, how does your time as an attorney prepare you to be a judge?
You know, to become a judge, you got to have legal experience and you got to have life experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the judges that are on the bench now, they've got both. Legal experience and life experience. And you need that when you've got people in front of you and you got to make decisions. And you take all that into perspective, both the legal aspect and the life in general aspect. And that only comes from experience. 11 of the 16 judges, district court and circuit court, that we have on the bench now came from the same background that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of the judges, both district and circuit court, were practicing over 20 years before they took the bench.
And I mean, it's a good point, because you can know the law, but to put it into to context and deal with human beings on what could be their worst day ever, you know, where they're looking for justice, it means a lot to have somebody has context.
Right, right. Especially somebody that's seen a lot, mm-hmm. both in the legal field, you know, and with life.
Well, I would talk about what we were discussing right before the break and the crime issues for our city. And you talked about Public Safety Director Barber saying, you know, if you 80% of, or 20% of people doing 80% of the crime. Or
yeah, 60 to 80% of the crime committed by 10% of the people. Yeah.
So, but how do you, as a judge, you have to, yeah, you're going to be there. You're going to have the case brought before you. You can't, as judge, go round them up, George. You know,
right.
I mean, so how in your position as a district court judge do you affect change there?
The judge is there to dispense justice, right?
Right.
Judge justice. All right. You have somebody come before you, let's say on a criminal matter.
Okay.
All right. And they're entitled to a bond.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Everybody's entitled to a bond. Okay. Unless there could be a capital murder, or you could be a flight risk, something
okay.
like that. But under the Constitution, everybody's entitled to a bond. Now, judges are given a range for the bonds depending on the crime. Let's make it simple. Let's say
okay.
you got the low end is $1,000 bond, high okay. end is a $10,000 bond.
Okay.
Okay. So the judge has that leeway to make
there's
that determination.
There's a $9,000 leeway there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. To use this as an example.
Right. Sure.
So the judge can make that determination, what he wants to do. Okay. He can give a low bond, he can give a medium sized bond, he can give a high bond or max amount. Okay.
Okay.
A lot may be depend on the facts that are before the court. You know, presently, and that's a real problem. Plus, these repeat offenders. You know, I mean, the judge will have before him, you know, the status of these people.
But that can't be taken. Can that be taken into account?
Well, you look at it and you say, and you know,
I mean, that person's been arrested.
Well, he's entitled to a bond, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the judge can look at it, and he has the discretion on what type of bond to give, and he can look at his rap. Can I give you a story real quick?
Sure.
Just a quick story. There was a judge, a person came before the judge, okay, Mobile County District Court, and the person wanted a lower bond than mm-hmm. what he had. And the judge said, "You want a lower bond, huh?" He said, "Yes, sir." And the judge looked at it, at his rap sheet. He looked at everything. He said, "Now, you got 81 aliases here." He said, "You're known as this, aren't you?" He goes, "Yeah." "And you're known as this, aren't you?" And the guy said, "Yeah." "And you're known as this name, aren't you?" The guy said, "Yeah." He goes, "Just said, all right." He goes, "I'm going to lower your bond." It was like a $5,000 bond, okay?
Right.
He said, "I'm going to lower your bond." The guy got excited.
Right.
He said, "I'm going to lower it to $1,000. The guy got really excited. He said, "I'm going to lower it to $1,000 per alias. $82,000 bond.
There's a way to express.
Yes.
Yes. Now, another thing we're talking about is dealing with the crime once it comes into a courtroom and what you do as a judge. But you and I were in a discussion earlier. Both of us Mobilians were very interested. You know, I know this. You and I have talked many times about what goes on in our city. And you brought something up about dyslexia and what it means in the criminal system. I thought this was fascinating.
It was fascinating when I heard it. Okay. I was at an event not too long ago. And there was a principal of a school there.
Okay.
Okay. And the principal gave a presentation. And she said that 48, there's a study out of the University of Texas. And she said, that study said that 48% of the people in the criminal system have dyslexia. And I was
Y'all
shocked.
Listen to that. I mean, that's I'm shocked too.
It was staggering. I said, that can't be right. I went up to her afterwards and talked to her about it. And she said, yeah, 48% have dyslexia. I said, we've got to do something about that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, do you imagine if we can make some type of change or effect on that, what it can do to the society and this county as a whole? I mean, let's look at this. You got a student in school who's got dyslexia, and it's not known, right?
Right.
They're being told that they can't do the work, or they're not smart, and their kids, their friends start making fun of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they start losing self-esteem, and they lose that self-esteem, and they drop out of school. They drop out of school, then they turn to the streets. They turn to the streets, they start committing crime, right? If there's a way, I spoke with Judge Edmund Naaman about this. I called him after I heard the study. I said, Judge, I said, you do so many great programs with Strickland Youth Center. I said, if I'm elected judge, I want to work with you on a program where we can test, hopefully, some of these people that come before the court. And if they have dyslexia, perhaps guide them in the, get them in school where they can learn and be taught accordingly,
this,
you know?
And it's really an eye-opening, I mean, it's an eye-opening stat because I don't have the stat off the top of my head, but I imagine the percentage of the American public with dyslexia is not 48%.
Right.
But of those incarcerated, well, 48%. I mean, I see room for improvement there between those two numbers.
And why is that, though? Because those, sure, they would be dropping out of school and then they turn to the streets and committing crime.
Yeah, I'd much rather you them not see you in a courtroom. I mean, right, that's the kind of, I would rather them not commit crimes in the first place, and you could be hard on crime, but just not committing crime sure seems like the best option for me.
And if we can do something like that, if we can have that effect, that change, then what's that do? That gets less crime on the streets, mm-hmm, gets the people back in school, less jail crowding. Right. And everybody benefits.
It's morally correct. It's fiscally correct.
Yeah.
You know, it makes for a better... Yes. I mean, if there's something like that... And, you know, I've heard the stat that, you know, the number of kids that can't read by the third grade shows you how many extra beds you'll need in the prison system down the road. But we haven't challenged the why they can't read in the third grade, and maybe this
right,
is it.
Right. And
that seems like something that's really worth tackling. If that stat bears out, then... If you could affect change right there.
I can tell you, I don't know if I can tell you where I heard this or not. Bright Beginnings School, mm-hmm, is a school for dyslexia, and the principal there gave the presentation on it. And it was unbelievable. It was definitely an eye-opener, and I've talked about it with people. And people have the same reaction you do.
Yeah, it's because I'm shocked about it. I see a way to affect change, instead of just throwing your hands up, say, well, maybe there is something that can... I mean, there's always going to be people, I think, that commit crimes and do bad, but this is a chance to fix that.
Judges can be hard on crime,
mm-hmm,
but judges can save lives. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, judges can have an effect on people's lives. And so I'm not running just to be judge, because there's no notoriety in being a judge, right? You're not right, making everybody happy.
Right.
But I'm doing it to serve. I'm doing it to serve the people. I'm doing it for the people of Mobile County, okay? And I want to be able to affect people's lives as society as a whole.
All right. Let's talk about how people can get more information here before tomorrow morning. They head to the polls. They've got more questions about you. How do they find you online?
Well, first, they can listen to your podcast.
Yeah, that's right. This will post up here at the
end. And we also have Facebook, Zogby for Judge, and our website, Zogby for Judge. Just go to it. Check us out. Look us up. And certainly, we hope everybody gets out and votes tomorrow. And I'm asking for everyone's vote.
All right, very good. George Zogby, thank you for your time. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, my distinguished colleague.
Yes, my distinguished colleague. I appreciate that. All right, coming back from the break, we'll continue more of getting to know the candidates. Harry Satterwhite's going to join us here. Also coming back after 1 o'clock, Chris Elliott in the State Senate District 32 runoff is going to join us. And yes, we will get a chance to run through some of the audio of President Trump and Vladimir Putin speaking after the Helsinki summit, and get your comments. That'll come up at 1:30. Remember, all this, like George just said, podcast post right after the hour ends. You can find those by going to fmtalk1065.com. Click the link that says podcast page, and guess what? That's where they are. All right, coming right back. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065.
Right, 12:37, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along on this Monday. And, of course, tomorrow, the runoffs and the primaries, and we're going to talk to Harry Satterwhite about that in just a second. Also, a reminder this week, it's Rodeo Week. Of course, the Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament was on Saturday. I had a good time. Big thank you to the JCs. I brought one of my children, a couple nieces with me, and we weighed in some fish, enjoyed a little visit with the JCs, and I'll be back to see you all on Thursday night for the Liars Contest. And then Midday Mobile going to be live on Friday from the rodeo site. In addition, a special rodeo show going on from 10 to 11 o'clock on Saturday. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors extended version, and we'll get some of the stats and what's been weighed in at that point, kind of talk to members of the crew down there at the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, and hopefully visit with you as well. So Midday Mobile live from noon to 2 at the rodeo site, and then again on Saturday from 10 to 11 o'clock. We'll be in the FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Command Unit right there on the rodeo grounds. Love for you to come on by and say hello. All right, we continue with our Get to Know the Candidate series, and good to have Harry Satterwhite running for circuit judge in studio. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
I was just asking you this off during the news break. Same thing I do for a lot of folks that are on the judicial side. I just asked George Zogby about district court. Now, you're running for circuit court judge.
Circuit court judge covers the entire county, okay. Mobile County. There are no districts. There are no divisions.
It's the whole thing.
It's our entire county. It handles the highest cases in criminal cases, the worst cases that
High-profile things.
Come to the courthouse, yeah. Medical malpractice on the civil side, and then murder, rape, robbery on the criminal side.
Okay, so in that, you're looking at, obviously, the ones that get the most attention, probably therefore the most commentary from folks, too, about decisions that are rendered by, the jury was all right, the jury's all wrong, the judge should have done this, the judge should have done that. I mean, you want to enter into this world?
Yes, I do. I've been practicing for 24 years, and it's the next step that I'd like to be in. You know, a judge is a leader of the legal community, and I'd like to be that leader, and I'd like to help fight crime in our community. I think crime is rampant. It's a very serious issue. You know, I've personally went out during this campaign and knocked on more than 500 doors myself.
Wow.
My team has been out probably over 5,000 doors that we've knocked on. Every single person is worried about crime. They think it's a problem. And, you know, I think the judges down there at the courthouse, all of them on the district court and the circuit court bench, need to make that a top priority of keeping our community safe.
So, help me here. So we're going to paint a little picture. So as a circuit court judge, you're there. How do you affect change there for crime? Because I think the majority of folks that call this station, text the station, we talk about all the time, they believe crime is out of control. Law enforcement is doing everything they can. They say we can only, we arrest them. But what do you do in that position? How do you make a change?
Well, you know, on the circuit court bench, the sentencing of criminals, really you just need to make a statement in just about everything you do as a circuit court judge that crime is not going to be tolerated and we're not going to be lenient on it. So circuit court judges can revoke bonds, they can revoke probations, and you know, if somebody's down there committing crimes over and over again, then you know, the strictest treatment that we can possibly find to give that person needs to be given to them. And that tells the people our system is going to deal harshly with you if you step out of line and commit crimes.
Well, yeah, I would look at it from pragmatically. So idealistically, I understand what you're saying about sending that message. We could have a discussion whether the people that are getting ready to commit a crime listen to something like that or even pay attention. But pragmatically, if they're not out of jail, they aren't committing crime. If they're not, you know, out of prison, they're not committing crime.
Right, right. You know, I think the people that are repeat offenders, they hear what the sentences of other criminals are. They hear what somebody got sent to prison for 5. Is it 10 or is it 15 years?
And do you think they weigh that before? I mean, they say, yeah, I'm going to do this, but this could carry this. Or,
you know, that's the most we can do, Sean. Do they actually weigh it or not? Maybe you need to have a psychiatrist or something on here. But the most a judge can do is give them the harshest sentence possible.
And keep them off the street.
To keep them off the street and keep them from committing the same crimes again. You hear it so many times.
Yeah, that's why I say there's idealistic side, but the pragmatic side is if the person's a routine offender, repeat offender, they have to have gotten out to repeat offend, correct?
Right, right.
So if the sentencing it is longer, then it's longer before they can get out to repeat offend. Mm-hmm. But how do you do this from position of a judge too? First offense, like I think repeat offenders, you get a lot of folks are just like they, like you said, they're throwing up their hands. We're sick of it around here.
Right,
got to do something about it. But first time offenders, is there something in the discretion of a judge that goes, this person could come back into the fold and be a decent person? Does that go through
Well, absolutely. That's really the discretion you have as a judge and the judgment that hopefully you have. You know, I'm 55 years old. I've been practicing law for 24 years. I've seen a lot.
A couple things.
Yeah. I've seen a lot. And I've seen the repeat offenders. But I've also seen people that made a mistake and probably won't make it again. I mean, a kid shoplifted or, you know, maybe somebody stole a car.
Right.
You know, we need to deal firmly with those people. They need to be told, just like everyone else, you cannot act in that manner. But we don't need to throw the book against somebody who's a first offender.
Because sometimes you hear those people, they say, well, they made this mistake, and they should be, I agree, they should be punished for it. But they get in with a, like, sometimes go to prison, they get in with a bad group and come out, and now they're changed, and they're kind of on the bad track.
Right, but I like to just stick with what the judge can do. You know, we don't have a magic wand. We can't solve all the problems in the world. The judge is given the job to look at the facts of the case right in front of him. What has this person done?
Right.
How bad is it? And deal with them accordingly.
So, so with that scope, you say that you have the discretion. And so, while there is law, there's things that are codified. There is variance between judge to judge then.
Right. Yes, and a lot of what the folks out there are telling me is there's certain judges, I mean, they don't name the judges, they don't really even know who they are, but they feel like there are judges that are being lenient on folks.
That's what we hear around here.
And letting them out, or giving them low bonds or low sentences and that kind of thing. And you know, I like the judges that we have. I think there's a good mix down there, but you know, the next judge that comes into my seat that I'm running for, it needs to be a strict conservative type person, and that's why those are my qualifications. I've been on the Republican Executive Committee for 15 years. I helped Judge Naaman get elected down there. I helped Judge Brooks get elected down there, and Judge Patterson is a good judge too. We've got some good conservative judges that are strict on folks, and I would like to fall in line with that.
All right, now we come back from the break. We want to talk more about this. And also, if y'all have questions, guest in studio, Harry Satterwhite, running for circuit judge. And we can talk more about the sentencing angle, because I know y'all all, you know, call in and say, well, those judges are letting people out too quickly. Well, this is your chance to talk to somebody who wants the job. And he says he's going to, you know what, be conservative and be strict. 343-0106, that's the text line, 343-0106. We'll run to the news break and come right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1250 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. As we continue to talk to the candidates, and especially before tomorrow, runoff in the primary, Harry Satterwhite running for circuit judge in studio, and talking about your time as an attorney and how, you know, wisdom and the law goes into the formula of taking the position of circuit judge. And you mentioned circuit judge, the biggest of the big name cases. You would be presiding over kind of the stories we talk about on the radio shows and on TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If there's a big personal injury case where there was a serious injury, maybe a medical malpractice cases, but there's also the capital murder cases that you hear about, you know, and there's children that have been abused and people that have committed just heinous crimes, and it's probably very stressful. That's not one of the things that I look forward to,
right.
But it's a service. You know, it's a public service, and I'm looking forward to being a public servant.
Well, as an attorney, you're, you know, probably get used to that because you're there with people on a lot of them's worst day, right? You're in the courtroom with them they're not having a great day. I mean, this is something bad enough that they're in a courtroom.
Yes. You're used to dealing with people with problems and trying to solve their problems. You know, that's what the best lawyers do. They find a problem that somebody has, and then they try to solve it. You know, whether it's going all the way to trial or settling before you get to trial, what's best for that client? And it's fun. It's very, taxing on your intellectual abilities. And when you can do it, it's very satisfying, and the clients are very happy.
Look at a texter here. Said, ask Mr. Satterwhite if he has any ideas that would help the prison/jail overcrowding while still being strict on crime.
Well,
but the jail, Sheriff Cochran told me the jail was, he said it's not
overcrowded.
Yeah, he's got room. He said, send me.
Well, I've asked that a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's the job of the judge. The judge is there for justice, okay? And like I was saying earlier, I've got a case in front of me and I have facts in front of me. Whatever the facts are about prison overcrowding or jail overcrowding is not something that's going to factor into my decisions. That's maybe for the legislatures. I think you have Chris Elliott coming on later, so ask him what to do about that. But the judges are there, and if we do something less than what's just in a certain case, are we doing a service to the victims of the crime? Because a lot of times you hear about the criminal defendants and their constitutional rights, but what about the rights of the victims?
Right.
The victims have a right for justice in each and every single case, and I'm not going to be lenient on somebody who deserves strict justice just because there may be some overcrowding over there.
Yeah, well said. And this goes back to my rants, y'all, of remembering what the job of the judicial branch is versus the legislative branch versus the executive branch. But yeah, those things get conflated and it gets confused out there because some branches decide to meddle in other areas.
Yeah, that's right. And I wouldn't plan to do that at all. Let's just stick with me being a circuit court judge. I'd be very satisfied with that.
But it leans into some of the idea of judicial advocacy, which is more at a federal level. But that's where people go, I can't get what I want. I can't get the legislature in Montgomery to do something about prison overcrowding, so I should put pressure on the judicial branch or have people there make decisions to deal with that.
Yeah, it's a shame because we should recognize the three different categories of government, and the judicial branch is not to legislate. And we see a lot of legislation, on the Supreme Court. You've got cases where they just decided to legislate. So you have five Supreme Court justices a lot of times. It's not even the unanimous decision, make very critical cases about our culture. About abortion or about same-sex marriage, and you've got a 5-4 split on the Supreme Court, and yet five people who are not our kings, and they're not our presidents, and they're not our legislators, are telling us how to live our lives.
It is, and that's what we've gotten used to, though. People have gotten used to, they look for, not to Congress,
but to the
Supreme Court.
I think the Democrats have lost. They've lost at the legislative area. They've lost with the president now, and the last bastion of hope for them are the courts, and now they're about to lose on the courts too.
That's why there's such a big fight at that point. All right, and just a chance here in the next couple minutes to let folks know more about you and why they should vote for you tomorrow.
I've been practicing law here in Mobile for 24 years. I'm from Mobile. I've grown up here, and I want it to be a safe place. I've got three sons. Hopefully they'll grow up and live here, and I'll have grandkids here, and I want it to be safe. I remember, and you probably remember too, riding your bicycle miles when you were a kid. miles from your house. And, be home by the time it's dark, that kind of thing. Your parents had no idea where you were.
Right.
I'd like for Mobile to be that way again. I don't know if it can be, but as far as a judge trying to be strict on crime and giving a signal to all the criminals out there that this is a community that's tough on crime, that's what I intend to do. I've been a Republican for my whole life. I've been on the executive committee for 15 years. I'm actually have been the attorney about 10 years for the executive committee. I've got other good conservative people elected here in Mobile, and this time I'm trying to do it for myself.
All right. Give folks a place to go online if they need some information before tomorrow morning.
VoteSatterwhite.com and Facebook. Please come out and vote, whether you vote for me or not. Just everybody come out, because this is an important decision for our community, and I think I provide a great choice.
All right, very good. Harry Satterwhite, thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you.
All right, 12:56, coming back next hour. We will talk about that legislative branch as a Baldwin County Commissioner running for State Senate in the runoff tomorrow. Chris Elliott joins us. We'll talk with him. Also, your questions at 343-0106, 343-0106. Then coming up at 1:30, we've cut up clips, obviously, with the first part of the meeting between Trump and Putin. We don't know behind closed doors, but what they had to say when they came out and spoke in front of the press, we do have that. We'll get into some of that audio coming up in just a little bit. And also a reminder here, Goldfingers, right across. Well, there's two Goldfingers. Of course, I mentioned the other day the Goldfingers in Saraland, and also the Goldfingers that's close to me. That's therefore the one I go to, the one on Dolphin Street, with their grilled chicken fingers. Now, this is part of my plan here to try to stay away from the fried food as best as I can, even though I dearly love it. And they have great fried chicken fingers at Goldfingers, but they also have really, really good grilled chicken fingers. You've gone to somewhere before. If you've been in my situation, you said, okay, I'm due right here. I always go to this place and get the fried, and then you get the not fried, and it tastes like nothing, bland, right? And then you go, oh, I'm going to fall down now and go back to the fried chicken fingers. Listen, when you go have the grilled chicken fingers at Goldfingers on Dolphin Street, you'll see what I'm talking about. The seasoning's great. They look great. It's fresh, and it's presented in a fantastic way. Go try that. And while you're there, yes, I know, I always get nudges. Hey, Sean, they've got hamburgers. They've got the salads. They've got the wrap. Yes, they do have those things. I'm kind of obsessed with the grilled chicken fingers. Also, if you're doing a party at the house, you're doing a party for the office, you want to get one of those big trays full of those great grilled or fried chicken fingers, you can get with them and do that as well. They do catering. They can make your next party, your next event perfect. And while you're there, try those corn fritters. Those are fantastic. They are they're like candy. They're tasting so very, very good. Hey, we'll put more information up on my Twitter feed here. Next time I go, and you know what we'll do? We'll film the comparison here to what the grilled chicken fingers and Goldfingers look like compared to some unnamed places. All right? Fair enough? All right, put it up. Check them out today in Saraland and on Dolphin Street. It's Goldfingers, and we're coming right back. Hour number two of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.